This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Over the weekend on AMI Audio, there's lots of great content for you to check out. You know, a little bit of catch up, a little bit of prepping for the new week. Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, you can check out AMI Audio Book Review with myself and Nisreen Abdelmajid. That's a fun show. We talk everything audiobooks, all things audiobooks, and we check in with community members on what they're listening to. You'd get tons of recommendations. And then Sunday, same time, 2 p.m. Eastern, My Life in Books is what you can check out. More audiobook talk, but this time more deep dive interviews with authors and narrators. And Red Sails is the host of that show. He's very well read himself, so he's got tons of recommendations for you. And then you can also check out The Pulse on AMI Audio, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific. They have Dr. Sherry Fells Winston on this week with Joita Gupta. So lots and lots of shows on AMI Audio over the weekend to keep you listening. I'm Ramya Amuddin here with Danielle McLaughlin, and it's time for our Friday app update with John Beeler of The App Show.
This is The App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John, happy new year, and thanks for joining us all the way from Vegas.
Hello, and happy new year to you guys as well.
Thank you. Are you having a good time? Can you describe how it feels to be in Vegas at this time frame?
It's very weird. It's very weird for a lot of reasons. The weird, I mean, obviously, the COVID reason that we're traveling. And but it actually is pretty good here. The Consumer Electronics Show is probably probably about half the attendance it would normally get as far as people. And they were predicting before COVID hit that they would hit 180,000 people. We're hearing numbers between 70 and 80,000, but the final numbers aren't fully in yet. So there's a lot of people here.
It still sounds like a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it feel safe to you with that many people?
It does, because the big thing is everyone that is at the conference has to be vaccinated. They actually gave us rapid test kits with our badges, and they're also paying for us to do our PCR testing to come home, which I just did yesterday, and I'm negative, so yay, I get to go home.
Nice.
But yeah, it does feel safe. Everyone has to wear a mask. Everyone has to, you know, every 5 feet there's hand sanitizer and free masks if you lose yours. There's a lot more room to move around, which actually makes it a really nice experience, where normally it's like crammed like sardines. So it feels better that way. But what's interesting is that a lot of the big vendors pulled out fairly last minute. So a lot of the big companies that we come here to see aren't here, but it's a really interesting opportunity for the smaller guys that have maybe a much smaller team or are brand new, to really get some attention from the people that are here. So we've been finding some really interesting stuff that we probably wouldn't have seen because we'd be too busy with the other bigger guys. So that's been kind of interesting. And also because of the fact that there's so many vendors missing, and we don't know how, what the percentage is, but it feels like maybe there's a third of the normal vendors here, maybe half. There's a lot more space in the convention center, so everything's a lot more spread out, and it's really easy to get around, whereas normally you'd have to wait 5 minutes to just talk to somebody in a booth. Now you can just walk right up and talk to somebody or take a look at a product. So it's been a really interesting experience that way. Like, it's kind of like CES Lite in that way. But it's all, it's, you know, it's a welcome change, especially given, you know, the issues that we're dealing with. But yeah, to answer your question, Danielle, it does feel safe. I mean, I feel fine. The biggest problem though, and this is such a, you know, silly thing, is when you have to wear a mask and you walk through a casino that's filled with people that are still smoking.
Oh my gosh, the
worst experience to have.
Oh, that's bizarre. Jeez.
Yeah.
Seems very counterproductive. John, one more question before we get into some of the highlights that you want to share with us. are the big vendors who pulled out, are they still going to get their stuff across that they would have presented at CES in some virtual way, or is that not really happening this year?
No, a lot of them are still doing virtual things. It's also kind of interesting. There's one fairly big brand that kind of pulled out, but they didn't. That's LG. They actually have a huge booth full of TVs and home appliances and things like that. What they did this time, though, is they literally made a booth out of plywood, and they put QR codes on all these little stands so you could virtually experience their product launches from the show floor. Okay. It's kind of weird because it takes up the same amount of footprint as the normal booth would be, but it's literally just a plywood floor with little stands and QR codes. Not even any product, despite us being there, but, you know, and no staff from LG are there. So it's a little weird that way. Yeah. So anyways, you have to pivot, I guess. So
yeah. Goodness sakes. Is that accessible?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Vegas is very accessible. So everything's on a flat surface. There's ramps, everything like that. But it's just lots of empty space is the best way to describe it. And the other thing, just before we get into the product stuff, we got to experience the Tesla loop that's underneath the convention center that will literally take you in a Tesla from one part of the convention center to another because it's so big. And that was really interesting because it's kind of like a train, but it's not. It's like a taxi underground. It's completely free. And just very strange.
Autonomous?
Not autonomous, unfortunately. The city made them have drivers for now, at least. But the goal is eventually to have autonomous drivers. So you just get into any Tesla, and it'll take you to the next stop in the route.
Okay, well, I genuinely thought it was going to be cool because it was autonomous, but never mind.
I guess it beats Segways, right?
Yes.
Those conferences that have Segways everywhere, and you think, this can't be good. wow. Okay. So
let's get to
really
the product.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So we've seen a lot of really interesting things. At night, the last three nights, there's been these media events where they have a condensed group of vendors showing off their stuff. And we found some really interesting products. One product that I found that I thought was really cool is called Solo Secure, or the company is called Solo Secure, and they make a range of products. The first one that was really interesting was a pepper spray, and it's basically, you know, a little handheld pepper spray unit. And they were telling me that biggest problem with, you know, pepper spray and if people are being attacked is they often get the pepper spray used on themselves because the attacker would overtake them. What this pepper spray does, and this is right out of James Bond, it actually has a fingerprint reader, and it's coded to the owner's finger only. And
sick.
The really cool thing, though, is you do all this sort of pairing with your phone. If you have to activate the pepper spray, your phone will automatically message your contacts, telling them that you're having a problem and send your location. So, I mean, that's next level for me. I mean, I think it's a game changer. It's only going to be $50.
Huh. And so, okay, but I think of like when I think fingerprint, I think of positioning and then that potentially getting you anxious, you know, making sure you do that right. Did you see the actual placement of where it would detect your fingerprint?
Yeah, the reader itself is a pretty big little pad, kind of like what you would have like on a smartphone for a fingerprint reader, but it's right on the top of the case. So you kind of can't miss it. I do agree, though, if you're under stress and your adrenaline's flowing, you might do it wrong. But I don't, and I didn't unfortunately get to touch it because it was behind a little, you know, glass case because of COVID. But it does look like it's something that you could program, just like when you're programming your touch ID on your phone. It does. You do it from a bunch of different angles, so I don't think you have to have it like lined up perfectly to unlock it. But
have
they
you
also
ever
made
used pepper spray yourself?
I haven't.
Ever...
No.
Can you imagine doing it?
Yeah, I might. Yeah. Well, I imagine, and the use case that they were using for this and some of the other products I'll mention in a second is like the a woman on a university campus, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And so the other thing that they had was a smartphone case that has a wallet built into it, but the wallet is actually locked. You actually have to unlock the wallet that's on the back of the case using your biometrics on your phone so that it just securely locks your credit cards and your ID and stuff like that on the back of the phone. It's not going to fall off like one of these, you know, these the MagSafe wallets that people have now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can lose those very easily. This actually locks it safely and securely to the back of your device. And again, like a James Bond kind of a thing. But one of the really interesting things that they had that I thought was really cool is, and again, it's meant for campus use, is if you're they have like these sort of safe zones that people can go to, and if and then there's a camera there, and then campus security can ask them, is everything okay, that type of thing. And similarly on, you know, the SkyTrain in Vancouver, and I think it's in the same case in Toronto as well, you have these little safe zones. But what about the spaces between where you're going and your home, or your home and, like, say, coming from class? What they have is you actually have the ability to request a drone to basically walk you home, and the campus security can monitor your walk home and make sure you're safe. Because they're not going to be able to, deploy a security person right away, but they can have drones positioned around the campus, and then they press a button, or you press a button on the app, and it will actually summon a drone, will follow you home, and make sure you're home safe and sound.
Okay, but my mind goes straight to, what if somebody hacked the drone, and now the stalker's following you? But anyways,
that's
the intention is good.
Too.
Way to take it dark.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't sound entirely safe to me. I can see that could be misused in so many different ways. But, you know.
But they're, well, the thing is, they're thinking about safety, right? Like these little things do, you know, especially for me, Danielle, you know, I have lots of challenges in the dark with my vision, and there is so many times during somewhere huge like York University campus where, you know, from one class to the other, you're practically walking from one side of the campus all the way to the other, right? And and dark in winter is 4:30 p.m.
Awful. Yes.
Yeah. So, great. Okay. Anything else you want to highlight, John?
So much. It's like hard to choose.
I know.
Mike actually found a really interesting thing. L'Oreal has a new styling wand. And what this does, you actually put a cartridge in, and the cartridge has hair dye. And it's like looks like a curling iron. And you actually curl your hair, and it deposits hair dye and dyes your hair all in one simple movement from a dispensary that's built into the unit. So you just pick your hair color, and then you just go to town with it. It looked really cool, and it's almost instantaneous, and it doesn't like overcook your hair. It has the right balance of all the different, I forget what the specific things are for hair dye and then the setting liquid, but it's all built into this machine, and like it takes a little cartridge, and you just buy the different cartridges for the different color hair that you want. So that was really cool.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of health tech here too. A lot of COVID-y stuff as well. Like the company that actually made the rapid test kits that they gave us, they had a really interesting booth with a bunch of other things that they're working on. One of them was basically a handheld blood lab. You have a tiny little little rectangular thing that you put a drop of blood on, you put it into this little machine, and it looks like not that different from what you would see someone at the grocery store scanning products with. And in 15 minutes does complete blood lab workup on your blood. Normally this would take days. You know, you have to send it to a lab. They can do this in 15 minutes in a hospital or doctor's office. So that they were all really excited about that. And then once I started talking to people, like, oh yeah, that's a big problem for people getting lab work done quickly, right? And they've got it now.
And the amount of prep too. The amount of prep that we have to do to get blood work done. John, this is so awesome. I know we barely got to skim the top of this. So thank you so much for giving us a preview.
No problem.
John Beeler of The App Show. He's going to be back next week. And who knows, maybe he'll just squeeze in a little bit of CES talk for the rest of the year because there's that much going on. After the break, we're checking in with Sylvie Fiquet in Vancouver, our colleague over there. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.